Welcome to a special edition of the Monkeys Fighting Robots podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Sardo. Sicario was one of the best films of 2015, and Hell or High Water is the best film of 2016 so far. Joining me today is the writer of both of those films, Taylor Sheridan. Hey, Taylor, thank you for taking the time to talk with me today.
Oh, you bet, man. Thank you.
Your film, Hell or High Water, is trending amazingly well with the critics, 98% of Rotten Tomatoes. Are you relieved, excited, or were you confident?
I mean, all three, you know. There's a part of me that's, you don't know if things translate. David did a phenomenal job with the film, David McKenzie. And then you just hope, you know, you never know who's going to connect to a character or how they're going to connect to it. And I do some risky things in the screenplay, and David didn't shy away from him. In fact, he really, you know, forced the audience to look at him, and it worked. What we hoped to convey was conveyed, and there seems to be an appetite for it, which is always rewarding, you know. It makes you feel like you told a story that mattered, which is obviously the goal.
Sicario and Hell or High Water have distinct settings. How does that set up in your writing process?
Well, you know, for me, especially with those two and Wind River, which is the third of this sort of trilogy, I mean, it's about the American West, and the landscape is a character. And at times it's an antagonist, and at times it's, you know, so for me, you know, to know a place, you have to know the place, you know, and you can't. I wanted to transport people to this world. A lot of people have driven across country, you know, they zip through I-40 and they don't realize the world beneath it, you know, and an incredibly rich one at that. And I don't simply mean what's underneath the ground. I just mean the history and the struggle that had taken place there, and, you know, the toughness of the people that lived there. Most people just drive through it, and I wanted to show it.
Did you write Marcus Hamilton with Jeff Bridges in mind?
I mean, it's one of those. It's a very dangerous thing to have an actor in mind when you write something, because if you don't get that actor, you know, it becomes very hard to see past that, even for other actors who read it. That said, yes, it's very hard. It's very hard to not. He's the only person we ever went out to with it, I think. And it took about 3 years, you know, to finally get it to him in a way that it actually got to him.
And I also heard that this is sort of, that character is sort of based on your uncle.
It is, yeah. Yeah, my uncle, his name's Parnell McNamara, and he and his brother were U.S. Marshals in Central Texas, and then, you know, forced to retire, you know, at that time, I believe the age was 57, I think is what it was when they were forced to retire. And my uncle jokes that, you know, there's still claw marks in his office where they had to drag him out of there. and it was, you know, and to me, he'd been such a larger than life figure growing up, you know, for that identity to be taken from him, you know, for a, you know, a teenage boy, I was very devastated that, you know, you could have your purpose taken from you. And it stuck with me for a really long time, enough to write a movie about it.
And Bridges has a few zingers in the film. How do you balance humor and drama in a movie like this?
Good question. You know, there's a real matter-of-factness to the people of West Texas, and a real sort of dry-witted, it's not cynicism, but in lieu of self-pity, you know, there's a lot of joking at the harshness of life. And to not have included that would have been an inaccurate representation of the area. And so it felt right to me. I didn't, you know, here's the other thing. I didn't necessarily know people were going to find it that funny. It's just really just how people talk there. And I was really, I saw it with an audience, which I never do. I never saw Sicario with an audience. But I was floored at how much fun people were having with the film, which is great, because I think it lends real contrast to the moments where you're not having fun.
And when I saw the first trailer, the first thing that came was like American Outlaws, and something in my gut was like got excited. Why do you think America has this love affair with outlaws?
Well, I think to a certain degree, if you think about, especially in the West, maybe the whole, it's a nation of immigrants. It's a nation of misfits from other places that either, you know, were escaping poverty or persecution or any number of different things. And every time it didn't work out, everyone just headed west where there were no laws and there were no rules. And if they succeeded, they did so on their own merit or their own criminality. And so I think it's ingrained in us a certain degree. And I think if there's one uniquely American trait, it is an absolute resistance to being controlled. And I think that you can interpret death and poverty as a means of control. And so the logical reaction to that is to rebel against it.
And just thinking about Sicario, my shoulders start to tense up. What are the elements that build suspense in film, and why are you so good at creating it?
Well, there's a lot of different methodologies and a lot of different approaches. My approach is a few, rather than try to surprise you with what comes around the corner, I tell you it's coming. And tell you. And I think that builds its own tension. Likewise, you know, I really try to play with the structure of a screenplay, and build moments that feel unfamiliar. You know, almost every screenplay ever written was written on a three-act structure. And basically what that means for people who don't know, somewhere around minute 15, minute 17, I want to have explained to everybody is, and tell you what the movie's about. And then we're going to go off and do whatever the movie's about for about another 50 pages. And then the climax is going to come and we're going to spend the last 25 pages trying to win whatever we're trying to achieve. Well, I try to break that up and tell a story in a five-act structure or not tell you what's happening until the end of the second act. You know, you don't learn why they're really robbing the banks until you're over an hour in the movie. You know, there's a reason. You just don't know what that reason is. And it's just leaked out in, you know, little pieces of information until Leo sits with his son and tells him. And then it all finally makes sense. And then as soon as it makes sense, and we've established that Marx and Alberto are right on their tail, right when you finally, you know, hopefully I've played with the idea of who you're rooting for, you know. And you should feel conflicted and a little bad that you're rooting for Toby and Tanner. And yet you don't want them to get caught for some reason. Playing with those ideas and when they're introduced in a screenplay can really make an audience feel like they're in unfamiliar territory.
And I was going to talk to you about the who am I rooting for, but you kind of explained it in that question. Do you worry that the general viewing public might not be ready for your work when you're writing?
I mean, I can't worry about anything, but, you know, does it feel honest to me? And does it feel... Does it feel exciting to me? Does it say what I want to say? That's all I can worry about. I can panic about what audiences get or don't get when the movie's made or being made, which is a good time to do it. But, you know, there's a lot of reasons to sit there and play with the idea of who you're rooting for. I did it in Sicario. I do it here. And it comes from the place of, you know, I don't know how many... If I've ever met a truly good person, like how many truly good people are there? How many Gandhis are there? There aren't many. And likewise, there aren't many Hitlers, but there's a whole lot in between in varying degrees based on the decisions that people make and the way they were brought up and their own psyche. And so most of us fall somewhere in the, you know, 70 good, 30 bad, I guess. And the bad ain't that bad and the good ain't that great. And so, to try and make, you know, characters that can be likable and still do things that we don't agree with, it feels authentic to me. It feels real, you know? And so Marcus, who seems to be very good and dedicated at his job, but completely incapable of expressing his affection for his partner, who he's about to no longer be partners with, So he insults his lineage, his heritage, his race, as a means of showing affection, because he's just too insecure to show it another way. And the audience understands that, and they don't forgive that, but they don't paint the man as pure evil as a result of it. They, you know, I tried, it was probably the most delicate thing that I did in the film, was how can I showcase that without vilifying him or condoning it? And it was a real, it was a tightrope, and it was a tightrope that once I wrote the scene, that tightrope is turned over to a director and the actors who now have to stretch it tighter, and it's thinner, and if anyone had done less than they did, it wouldn't have worked, no matter how I write it. And it could have been offensive and seemed callous and had no resonance beyond the moment. But it was executed flawlessly, and I think as a result, you can look at that and go, huh, have I ever been that insensitive to someone that I care about? You know what I mean? I think at the end of the day, that's the beauty of movies, is maybe we learn something about ourselves without, you know, the burden of having to endure the experience.
You mentioned in an interview with Creative Screenwriting, and this goes back to what you just said, but we have a lot of comic book nerds, and this kind of scares them a little bit. You said, to me, a purely good individual or purely bad individual, that's a comic book, that's fantasy, and I don't want to do fantasy. And so all the nerds are really worried. Does that mean that if Marvel or DC Comics asked you to write a script, you'd say no?
Here's the thing. I would have to argue that that's, look at the comic book movies that have come out. I think Chris Nolan did it. All of a sudden, Batman's not perfect, and we start to see some real pain in the Joker. And obviously, Deadpool is this incredibly unique reinvention of what our idea of a superhero is, and we watch him suffer and be, you know, callous and vindictive, and you watch him be human. You know, there's no. Like, I could sit here and tell you I'll never write a musical and then watch some way there's a possibility to reinvent that to where, you know what I mean? There's no rules.
Right.
But I guess a better way to say it is I like the characters that I create to drive the plot and not the plot to drive the characters. And for that reason, these tent poles, you know, it doesn't seem like the best fit.
And you also mentioned that Soldado is Sicario on steroids. Do you worry about the pitfalls of a sequel, and how do you try to avoid them?
Well, I avoid them by not writing a sequel. I avoid them, but, you know, sadly, there are still, even more so now than in a lot of ways, areas to explore. You know, the fascinating thing about Sicario, while it's set in the landscape of the drug war, it's not about cartels. It's about, you know, the American's methodology of policing, and when you introduce soldiers into that, when you introduce military groups into policing, what happens? And there's, you know, there's still room to mine that ground. So, you know, it's a standalone piece that coincidentally has two of the same characters in it, because, you know, there's more of them to explore. But I wouldn't call it a sequel in any way.
Taylor, thank you for your time, and best of luck with Hell or High Water.
Oh, man, thank you. I really appreciate it.
That was Taylor Sheridan, and Hell or High Water, starring Ben Foster, Chris Pine, and Jeff Bridges, is in theaters now. Check it out. If you enjoyed the interview, leave a comment below. This concludes the special edition of the Monkeys Fighting Robots podcast. I'm Matt Sardo, and this is Monkeys Fighting Robots.